The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that answers the question,
is it possible to make a vowel sound out of a potato?
Can the word potato be a verb?
What about an actual potato? Can that be a verb?
What about the word verb? Can the word verb be a verb? Can it be a potato?
Mama, I'm scaring myself.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show with all kinds of special guests and with Albin and Chris. Albin and Chris, are you there out there someplace?
Albin is here, and Albin has his mug of Honor Bound Coffee in front of him.
Honor Bound Coffee, our sponsors, honorboundcoffee.com, honorboundcoffee.com. Listen, I got to tell you, but before we've got a lot of announcements, a lot of guests. First of all, in the next segment, folks, Franklin Graham, I interviewed him at the end of last week at in Central Park. It was a crazy thing. I got a text from somebody at the Samaritan's Purse Hospital there that he's going to be there the next day. And did I want to come by? So I came by the next day and I didn't think I was going to interview him, but I ended up interviewing him in Central Park amidst the pollen. It was a wonderful conversation. So we're going to play that in our next segment. And I want to say also, this is really important. Albin and Chris, I don't even know if you heard about this, but the Blaze put out the news that the New York City government was forcing Samaritan's Purse Hospital to shut down, you know, because they're bigots. And when I went there and talked to the folks at Samaritan's Purse, they said, that's absolutely not true. That's not a true story. We're leaving because our job is done, but nobody kicked us out. So I want to be real clear to correct the record on that. So we've got Franklin Graham in the next segment. After that, we have constitutional law scholar and attorney Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center at Liberty. And then after that, get ready, John Zmirak. So I just want to announce what we have coming up. A lot of other stuff to talk about. I don't know, Albin and Chris, if you saw my my speech to the graduates of Regent University, but I gave it from this very computer. It was the strangest thing. I had this tremendous honor to be chosen as their commencement speaker, and I was so looking forward to it. And then, of course, it became a virtual graduation, but I posted that online, and I start out with a joke, and I wonder how many people who watch it. It's only 20 minutes. How many people will catch the joke if you watch it? I'm just curious. I'm not going to.
Wow, I did not see it, but I'm going to sign up for your newsletter so that I can get it at the end.
Great idea. That's a great idea, Albin. Sign up for my newsletter. You go to Metaxas. I'm sorry. You go to ericmetaxas.com. But that does remind me. I just want to tell people, if you're watching this on video, a lot of people, you know, they go to our YouTube channel. And they go to the Eric Metaxas Show on YouTube. And most of this stuff, Jenna Ellis and Zmirak and all, we put that on YouTube if you prefer to see what we look like. But I just want to tell people that this allergy has really affected me, or at least the pollen. I'm not sneezing or anything, but it affects me. It affects my eyes. It's very rare. It affects my eyes and my hair. That's why my hair looks different. It's the pollen. It happens every year. Now, look, pollen affects people differently. Some people, they're sneezing and coughing. For me, it's a hair issue. If you're looking at this,
look what the pollen did to my hair. Although I got to admit, I haven't been to the barber. I'm starting to look like one of those Beatles. You know, I'm off to Barry Paul. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, you mean one of the Beatles, right? Exactly.
Not the bug.
All right. We've got a couple of announcements here. First of all, I don't think I've announced this before. If you go to patternsofevidence.com, we've talked about Patterns of Evidence. These are important films, and I'm getting more interested in this kind of thing because of the book that I'm writing called Is Atheism Dead? About the historicity of the Bible. Can we prove that the Exodus happened? What can we know? Patternsofevidence.com. There are a number of films by our friend Tim Mahoney. He's been on the program, patternsofevidence.com. But what I don't think I announced, if you go to patternsofevidence.com, use the code Eric and you get a discount. Wouldn't that be nice? You get a discount. Use the code Eric and you get a discount. And speaking of discounts, if you go to mypillow.com, a little birdie told me that if you use the code Eric there, you get a whopping discount. And since Mike Lindell is an American hero, I think we need to support him during this time of COVID madness. So please go to mypillow.com and put in the code Eric. Patternsofevidence.com, put in the code Eric. If you go to honorboundcoffee.com, I don't think you put in the code Eric, do you, Albin?
No. But you have to mention that the Eric Metaxas show sent you. Just mention Eric Metaxas.
Oh, yeah, you have to mention it. Okay. Now, speaking of which, we have we've also been talking about nosafespaces.com. I've got a special announcement there. I didn't find out about this till recently, but before we get to Franklin Graham, Jenna Ellis, and Zmirak, let me try to squeeze this in. Freedom of speech, as you know, is a big issue now, and the film No Safe Spaces with Adam Carolla and our friend Dennis Prager is all about that. And it's been deplatformed, to use a really ugly verb. Amazon Prime doesn't carry it. Netflix doesn't carry it. So we want you to go to nosafespaces.com yourself, right? And toward that end, we're doing a Facebook Live event, which is this Wednesday. Holy cow, it's this Wednesday. This Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I can't believe it's this Wednesday. It's 2 days from now. 7 p.m. Eastern time. I am hosting this, folks. I'm hosting it. And I'm going to be interviewing Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, big time comedian. He's going to be on there. And we have a special guest comedian, Kareth Foster. Do you know Kareth Foster? Well, if you come to this thing, it's 7 p.m. Facebook Live. Actually, go to my Facebook page. As you know, I am on Facebook and we'll post it there. But it's going to be an hour-long conversation. I will be, as I say, hosting it about free speech, about the making of the film No Safe Spaces. As you know, if you listen to this program regularly, I keep saying that we, the people, we have to understand our rights. We have to understand what free speech is. We have to understand what religious liberty is, because if we don't, these things will just subtly go away. Slowly, they evaporate. We have to keep the republic. Obviously, I wrote about it in my book, If You Can Keep It. We really have to take an active role in this. And so I want to encourage you to go to nosafespaces.com to see that. You can use the code SAVE25, save 25%. But if you're able to check it out, Facebook Live this Wednesday, 7 p.m. I really can't believe it's already this week. But it's all about laughter and free speech.
That's right. Fight for your right to laugh. For it.
That's right. You got to fight for your right to guffaw. It's called Not Allowed to Laugh, Free Speech and the Death of Comedy, with Adam Carolla, Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager knows about the death of comedy because that guy is not funny. Okay, so seriously, that's this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I am the host, so I've got to be there. And if I've got to be there, I'd like you to be there too. We also should talk, Albin, about we are doing a fundraiser for Angel Tree. Okay, some of you know Prison Fellowship. And as you know, every year, Angel Tree does a campaign with us around this time of year to send kids to camp. These are the kids of prisoners, incarcerated people, okay, who really have no contact with their children. We want to bless those kids and we want to send them to summer camp. This year, it is not known whether we can send them to camp. I have said falsely on this program that we know we can't send them to camp. Some of them still may get to go to Angel Tree Camp. So we're trying to see if that's possible. But most of them, it doesn't seem we'll be able to go to camp this summer because of this COVID shutdown. And so I want to say that what we're doing, the fundraiser, it's to raise money for these families. So even if we can't send the kid to camp, we can send them a care package with all kinds of wonderful stuff, a Bible. And if you're able to, go to metaxastalk.com and give $200. Now, again, that will send a kid to camp or it will get them a care package. But I just want to say that this is something that's very close to my heart. Chuck Colson, my hero, and he became a friend, made me understand that It's not optional to care for prisoners. It's our job. The Bible talks to us about caring for prisoners. And the greatest thing we could possibly do is bless their kids. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner. Do what you can, folks. We will reward you in any way we can. We're just about out of time in this segment. When we come back, I'm interviewing Franklin Graham. After that, Jenna Ellis. And after that, John Zmirak. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. My name is Eric Metaxas, and this is my town. But my friend Franklin Graham has come to visit. Franklin, I really cannot believe right now where we are. We are sitting in Central Park.
We are.
Behind us is the Samaritan's Purse Field Hospital that God has brought here through you. And it is just an awesome thing. And I know that you're shutting this down, that this has been a season where God has brought Samaritan's Purse to New York City, to this amazing spot. So let me start. Today is the National Day of Prayer. Yes. It's Thursday. So what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, first of all, 2 months ago, I would have never thought, Eric, that I'd be in New York City operating a hospital.
Even as recently as 2 months ago?
We brought this up here April 1st. And 2 weeks before, 10 days before that, we went to Italy. I never thought we'd be in Italy. And because we went to Italy, FEMA heard that we had another hospital in our warehouse in North Carolina. And they called and said, would you be willing to take that to New York?
FEMA called you?
FEMA. So FEMA posted it on their bulletin board, the internal bulletin board, that there was another hospital available.
Yeah.
The FEMA guy here at Mount Sinai, they have a guy who's their kind of their FEMA relations guy.
Yeah.
He sees it posted on their bulletin board. He calls. Would you be willing to come to New York City? And our guys said, yeah.
See, this is the first I heard that FEMA was the one, that the U.S. government was the one that reached out to you all.
They reached out to us, but it was the FEMA contact at Mount Sinai that made the call.
Right.
And we came up here the next day. We looked at where we could put the hospital. They said right here.
I mean, we just have to explain, because as I said, I'm a New Yorker. I live near here. I walked here. And the idea that there's a field hospital in Central Park across the street from the famous Mount Sinai Hospital, and we find it very funny that it's Mount Sinai Hospital. I think that's kind of a God thing. What do you think?
I think so.
I mean, it's amazing, Franklin. But so you, let me ask you, because it's interesting to me, you're saying FEMA were the ones to call you guys here. And then we have this absurd situation where activists kind of attacked you and attacked Samaritan's Purse. Here you are trying to do the Lord's work to bless people, obviously, with volunteers. And they attacked you. Did that eventually begin to go away? Because I was very upset about that.
No, I don't think it's gone away. You still, these activists haven't given up. And they are angry because of our position that we believe marriage to be between a man and a woman.
Now, where did you get that crazy idea?
God. So they hate that fact that we believe God's word. And so they've tried to punch holes in trying to get us to change, and we're not going to change. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, period. That's just what the Bible teaches. But that doesn't make me anti-gay, because I believe God's word, and I care about gay people. I want gay people to know that God loves them. Our hospital, if gay people came, amen. We would treat everybody the same. We don't discriminate. But they try to make it sound like that this is a city of inclusion and that and I don't support New York values. And my argument to them is I believe there are more people in New York that believe in marriage between a man and a woman than between two men or two women.
There's no doubt about that.
And so I'm in the majority. So, of course, they disagree with that. But that's okay. But I'm not here to fight with the gay people. I want them to know that God loves them, that Jesus Christ died for their sins like he died for mine. And if we repent and turn from our sins and by faith believe on the name of Jesus Christ, God will forgive our sins and he will heal our hearts. So I want the gay people to know that. But I don't fight with them. But we've been accepted here in New York. The people of New York, Eric, have been so friendly. We've had business people provide meals. I'm talking about from gourmet-type box meals from Italian restaurants that are extremely expensive, and 100 of them would show up at one time. Jimmy Fallon sent over cheeseburgers a few nights ago.
Jimmy Fallon is siding with bigots?
This
doesn't make any sense. You know something? It's so beautiful to hear that. I didn't know that, right? And I think most people get it, right? That there are people looking. I mean, it's kind of funny. You said that, you know, people want to say, like, New York is inclusive, which is why we want to exclude you and shut you up and make you sound like some fringe bigot, when the reality is what you believe is not only believed by most New Yorkers, especially New Yorkers of color in the boroughs. They all believe what you believe. But when you talk about, you know, you've said things about Islam or whatever, and all you're doing is stating what believers have believed since believers have existed. Yeah. But it's become, you know, something that you're not allowed to say theoretically. But you say it, and I say it, and I just want to say to you, thank you for standing and for saying it.
Well, first of all, I think we do the work God has called us to do, right? And we have to speak truth. We don't back up from God's word. I believe the Bible cover to cover. Don't understand it all, but I believe it all. And we were given an opportunity to come here to New York to put a hospital in Central Park. Who would have ever thought 2 months ago that we would be here in a hospital in Central Park? And that, what's the population in New York? 9 million, 10 million?
I think we're down to eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Okay, 8 million people. Out of 8 million people, everybody knows this hospital's here. I mean, it's a God thing. And the fact that we stand for Christ, they know that. And it's just a God thing. And we've been able to treat 330 people that have come through our doors.
I didn't know that. That's a lot.
330 people.
And, in these tents. This is amazing.
We had 190 in this tent, and the others were in the lobby of the Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
We set up beds there. We worked in the lobby.
Yep.
And then over at their other hospital, Beth Israel.
Yeah.
Two floors that we managed for Beth Israel.
Beth Israel, that also sounds vaguely biblical. Is that just me? Let me ask you, because today's the National Day of Prayer, where do you suppose we are as a nation, and is God speaking through this plague? Where do you think we are?
First of all, I believe our nation is in trouble. Spiritually, we're in trouble economically. We're in trouble medically. And I think for this National Day of Prayer, we need to call out on God more than we've ever needed, maybe in the history of our country, because our country is on a precipice, I believe. And I think we could economically not completely implode, but we could economically implode to a level that could take years to come out of. And, you know, six months ago, everything was fine. The greatest economy in the history of our country. Money was rolling in. People were having jobs. It was hard to find people to work because the economy was so well. Everybody was having to pay more money for salaries because it was competitive. You couldn't get people to work because everybody had a job. Now, some of the highest unemployment since the Great Depression.
I mean, isn't it just, it'll give you whiplash even thinking about it.
And the government is paying people to stay home, not to work.
Yeah.
So it's more cost effective for people right now to stay home than go back to work.
Yes.
Because you get an unemployment, but you're getting a bonus on top of that.
Yeah.
Now, all of that is going to implode at some point financially. I just don't see how we can keep doing this much longer. And maybe that's what it will take. Maybe it'll take this country just falling apart before people call on the name of God.
It's the strangest thing, because you and I know there's nothing we can do but pray and do the little things the Lord asks us to do. But I don't know if we'll be able to get this on the air today, which is the National Day of Prayer. But would you close with a short prayer, Franklin, for the nation? Because I just feel like this is an opportunity. It's a God opportunity. And the amazing thing of the two of us sitting here in the middle of Central Park, in the middle of Manhattan, on this day, in the middle of a huge national shutdown and crisis, I would just say, let's close it in a prayer.
Easter Sunday.
Yes.
I was right over here with Michael W. Smith.
Yes, we watched it.
And we've watched our country just go further and further down since Easter. And I believe the only hope for this country is God. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president, for those that are in authority, for those that are in power. Father, I pray that you would give them your wisdom. Father, give President Trump strength. Father, we pray that you would not only give him wisdom and strength, but, Father, that you would guide and direct his every step that he takes. Father, we pray for those that are in Congress. Watch over them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Father, we ask you for help. Help this country. And, Father, we pray that we would turn from our sins, that we would repent. And, Father, we pray that this nation would once again call on you. And, Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Christian best-selling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking.
Hey, folks, as we told you in our first segment, before you heard me talk to Franklin Graham in Central Park, we have, as our guest for most of the show today, our friend Jenna Ellis, who is a constitutional law attorney. She's also private counsel to the President of the United States. I believe that would be Donald J. Trump. Jenna Ellis, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. And it is Donald Trump who's absolutely wonderful for America.
and you are, I also want to say up front, a senior fellow with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University.
Yes.
And yeah. I have an announcement to make. I want to steal your thunder before you get to say anything impressive. I have just become a senior fellow with the Falkirk Center. And I think that probably has something to do with one of our previous conversations, but we'll talk about that another time. But I'm very excited about that. People can check out the Falkirk Center online. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm glad they got you to be a part of it. Now, Jenna, you're with the Trump campaign. I want to talk to you about current events. It is a little hard for us to fathom how much is happening at once in the country. So where should we start? What's on your mind with regard to current events?
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much happening with the coronavirus pandemic and the state's response, the federal government's response, us as individuals, everything that you just talked to Franklin Graham about with everything going on in New York City, and then also the election coming up in 2020. And, you know, before we get into some of the main issues and the substantive issues, the biggest overall problem really that we are facing from a completely nonpartisan perspective, but as every American should care about, our right to access the franchise of voting. There are three places in the U.S. Constitution that that right to vote is preserved and protected. And we have to make sure as Americans, regardless of what candidate we support, and regardless of whether we're talking about the presidential election or all the way down ticket, everyone should be voting for all of their state and local elections. Those things matter. We want to make sure that as America, we still stand for the principle and are securing free and fair elections.
Okay, so I have to interrupt to ask you, you know, of all the things that I thought you might bring up now, why would you bring that up? In other words, we have we can talk about, you know, so-called Obamagate, and suddenly having the former president implicated in this a plot to get Flynn and to get President Trump. We can talk about COVID. Why do you take the conversation to access to voting access and to voting?
That's a great question. And that's because as we're seeing all of these top level issues and we're seeing how much corruption there actually is in within the deep state government and how much Americans are concerned about all of these issues, it does go back to voting and making sure that we the people are able to elect the office holders that we select and prefer. That is a fundamental right in how our country was built upon. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, our election is now in jeopardy. And the biggest issue that will face us from now until November is making sure that we are aggressively fighting back against, it's primarily, unfortunately, the Democrats that are trying to use the coronavirus as a pretext to change election law around the country.
Like what specifically? What do you mean?
So specifically ballot harvesting. So this is this idea that, and they also want to go to all mail-in voting. And so like what we're seeing, for example, in California, where Governor Newsom last week just issued an executive order saying that he thinks it'll be too dangerous, essentially, for people to go to the polls in November. And so he wants to mail live ballots to every person in California. And the danger with that is that we know, I mean, look at what happened with the IRS coming out just this week, that they mailed some of these subsidy checks to people who are confirmed as deceased. There's no way to make sure that if you're mailing a live ballot, it's the correct address. It's a person who's still living. It's a person who is actually registered to vote. It's a person who can, under our constitutional standards and the law, actually vote. So you're sending a bunch of live ballots that absolutely have the potential of interfering with the election. There's also the issue of ballot harvesting, which is the idea that you mail ballots to people and then a third party can come around and collect those ballots. And what happens is you have a chain of custody issue, which means that if you don't vote the quote unquote proper way or the preferred way that the ballot harvesters want, they can dispose of those ballots and no one would ever know, or they can modify those ballots. That is a huge opportunity.
Okay, we're talking about, look, when you bring this up, I bristle because I think to myself, in the United States of America, the idea that we would have this level of corruption, it's just so horrifying to me. Now, we've always been a nation of sinners because we're human beings and people have, there's always been political corruption. But when I hear about things like this, it's particularly ugly. And I just want to say, do you fear specifically for states like California? In other words, what makes you think that this would be different than any other year, or that they're doing this specifically as a play to give them the opportunity to do these to act criminally with regard to these ballots?
Because we know, we can see that the DNC and other funded organizations from the liberal left are already challenging courts. They're already challenging the election laws, and they're using the coronavirus pandemic as their cover to do so.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just asked you a question, and then we have to go to a break. Hang on one second, Jenna. Folks, we'll be right back talking to Jenna Ellis. This is very important. Stick around. Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center, also with the Trump campaign. Jenna, you were just telling us what is happening right now. There's a suspicion that the Democratic Party sees an opportunity to change the laws regarding the vote in November, and that they would allow or that they would require it to be strictly by mail-in ballot. And you were telling us the potential dangers. I have to say, I'm just horrified that in America we have to fight this battle in 2020. It's an amazing thing.
It really is. And, you know, our Constitution protects our security in free and fair elections. And that is a hallmark principle that our country was founded upon. And the fact that these issues are being challenged in court, and the DNC and other liberal leftist super PACs and private interest groups are challenging these laws and these safeguards and protections. Their goal in court is to remove nearly every safeguard from our elections come November. And so the RNC and the Trump campaign has launched a website that I encourage everybody to go to. You can see for yourself where we're fighting, what the litigation is all about. You can see for yourself this. It's called protectthevote.com, and it'll go through our core principles, explain what ballot harvesting is, explain why mail-in ballots are not secure. And then also there's a tab called Where We're Fighting, and you can click on your state, you can click on the other states and see the litigation around the country that's pending, and also see how you can get involved to help and make sure to protect the ballot in your state and local elections. This is so important because the one person, one vote principle absolutely has to be protected in November, so we can make sure that every election, not just the presidential election, but every election all the way down ticket is protected and it's free and fair.
It's just an amazing thing. I guess I have to say that you know, those of us who love America, not merely in a tribalist way, right? We love the idea that the people can govern themselves and that we can trust the government to do things fairly. But of course, we've become so divided right now that in many ways, neither side trusts the other. And I think the American people have to understand what is at stake. It doesn't matter who is being corrupt. I would like to think that if the GOP were being corrupt, that I would speak out against it, because once you sell your soul to the devil, winning doesn't matter. And if you're willing to win in those kinds of ways, it's one thing to talk about political machinations. Everybody does that. It's like you're in a race or in a contest. And there are times when you cross a line, and this is very clearly crossing a line. It seems to me also that there was a lot of a corruption in the last election. I mean, I hear people like Tom Fitton and others talk about it. Do you know anything about that? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And, you know, Eric, I think that the idea and the values that you're getting at, it goes back to the fundamental concept of originalism. And, you know, we've seen that activism, when paired with the right motivation and the right understanding, we can be activists or advocates in that sense for our position, but we can't be activists over originalists. So what I mean by that is that we are under a rule of law nation. And this is why things like the General Flynn situation and the election rigging, like you're talking about, all of these things should strike at the heart of every American, regardless of what policies and what party you're supporting, because we in this country value the fact that we are human beings made in the image of God and have inherent value because of that. And we have our rights that are given by God, our creator, not our government. And so it's we, the people, that give our government specific limited powers to make sure to preserve and protect those rights. And so who we designate to hold those limited powers and be able to exercise them, we, the people, have to have a voice in that. And that's what our government means. And so when we're talking about the concept of originalism, it's the same thing like on the Supreme Court. Just because we put conservative justices on the Supreme Court, that doesn't mean that any time that a conservative or a Christian or a Republican goes and litigates a case, then we automatically win. No, that's the opposite of that concept. It means that our case is heard fairly and without prejudice and without bias, but in accordance with the rule of law. And it's the same thing for elections, that regardless of which candidate we're supporting, that every single person has the opportunity to be heard through the election, through their voice, and not have their voice either cut off, foreclosed, or diluted through any of the removals of these safeguards. And that's why it's so incredibly important. And we did see that there were some really bad problems over the last 2018 election, as well as the 2016 election. And that's why the RNC and the Trump campaign is fighting these battles so aggressively in court to make sure that we continue to preserve these safeguards for our elections.
It's an amazing thing, Jenna. I have to say, one of the things that I find myself increasingly speaking out about is cynicism. In other words, whenever you have a people that say, ah, they're all corrupt, it's all corrupt, the moment that happens, American-style self-government evaporates. We cannot have liberty unless people believe in the institutions, unless people believe in the people doing the vote harvesting, unless people believe in the people volunteering. In other words, we all know that we're in a country where people have different points of view on things, where people may vote differently. But the moment it breaks down to that level of cynicism, that you actually don't trust that your vote is going to get counted, everything goes away. And so this is a battle for democracy. It's not a battle for Trump. It's a battle for democracy. And I want to be always very, very clear about that, even though I support this president. If I saw this kind of thing going on against someone that I didn't like, I said, look, that's not the way to win, folks. And speaking as a Christian, we're supposed to trust God, which means you do the right thing and you trust him with the results. So to hear that this thing is going on at this level right now, there's a level of cynicism in the Democratic Party that it just concerns me tremendously that they would stoop to this right now.
100%. And, you know, and we have to make sure that we're protecting and preserving democracy. It's the same thing as freedom of speech. I may not always agree with what you're saying, but I absolutely will protect your right to say it. And that's the same thing at the ballot box. I may not agree with everyone that you're voting for, but I will make sure legally to protect and preserve your right to cast your ballot for the people that you choose.
Well, we're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to Ellis with the Falkirk Center. You can go to that website, protectthevote.com. This is a real battle, folks. Protectthevote.com. It's not a partisan thing to want your vote to count. We'll be right back.
You got your demons, and you got desires, but I got a few of my own.
Would you like to?
Hey, folks, we're talking to Jenna Ellis, and we've got John Smirak on deck. That's scary. Have you seen him swing a bat lately? Chris and Albin, before we go back to Jenna Ellis, mm-hmm. I just got to tell you, something happened to me this morning, and I need to tell someone. I didn't want to tell Jenna Ellis because it's kind of a guy thing. I was retweeted by Larry the Cable Guy.
What?
Cool.
Actually, no, that's not true. He referred to me in a tweet. He said he was sitting with his mother and, you know, the get her done guy, get her done. Larry the Cable Guy, right? He said he was with his mom and he was watching something with me on TV. And he said to his mother, this is his tweet. This is Larry the Cable Guy, get her done. He said to his mother, you know, I kind of like this Eric Metaxas guy. You know him? And his mother said, I don't want any mashed potatoes. All right. I just had to share that with the group. But I just feel we got to get him on this program. If he knows of my existence, I mean, we got to get Larry the Cable Guy on this program.
I have reached out.
All right. Well, as long as you've tried.
I'm going to try to get her done. Okay.
You better get her done. Get her done. Okay. So the other thing is the allergies are severely affecting my hair, all the pollen. And it's a tough time. If you're watching this on YouTube, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Alvin, I need to make a couple of quick announcements here. There's this thing called, or maybe you have it in front of you. Do you want to make this announcement?
I can. It's a great program called Giving Masks. Okay. Yes. And you know, people are forced to wear masks now. And of course, it's going to be healthy for everyone, basically, until all this stuff blows over.
Yes, sir.
So what if you give a mask through this givingmasks.com? Okay, you go to givingmasks.com/Eric. And if you order a bunch of masks, for every order that you make, they will send masks to those on the front line, the doctors and the first responders.
And it's the New York Presbyterian Hospital. We have chosen that they will receive masks as a gift.
That's right.
So say the website again.
It's called givingmasks.com. Very simple. And then /Eric. Okay. So it goes to the Presbyterian Hospital, which you are donating.
givingmasks.com/Eric. givingmasks.com/. Yep. Okay. Now, but what you didn't say, I think, is that these are spectacular masks.
They're not just paper masks or something. Go ahead. You can explain.
No, I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay. Here it is. It's a European
mask for yourself.
Yes. A European certified FFP2 respirators and surgical masks. That's the kind of things that they're, it's good quality stuff, right? It's not just, here's a piece of paper in front of your face.
Right. Okay, so we want to make sure that we announce that we really haven't done this clearly, and it's my fault, but I want to say that if you're looking for high quality masks, because you keep reading about there's this kind and that kind, whatever, we have settled on these masks, givingmasks.com, as particularly spectacular and effective. So this is really for you. To get great masks for you and your neighbors and friends and whatever. But we just want to make it clear that the company has said whatever you order, they will double it and they will send that extra box of masks to somebody on the front line. So it's just a good thing to do. Speaking of good things to do, before we go to the break, and we'll be right back with Jenna Ellis, I want to say that our website, metaxastalk.com, you'll see a banner for Angel Tree Camps. As you know, a lot of the Angel Tree kids will not be able to go to camp. And so we're creating packages for them, you know, helping the prisoners, folks. This is like not optional. It's in the Bible that we're commanded. And so metaxastalk.com, this is really, it's big on my heart. I feel strongly that when you talk about what can I do, helping the children of those who are incarcerated, it kind of doesn't get clearer than that. That's a really basic thing. So check it out, metaxastalk.com. God bless you as you give. We'll be back with Jenna Ellis and John Zmirak.